Hi, thank you. Just to be mindful of time, are we going past 2:30? Okay. All right.
So we have until 3:30.
Oh, okay. 20 minutes? All right. You got it. Hi, everybody. I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic, drug addict, food addict, and sex and love addict. And my name is Irie. I have worked the steps as laid out in the big book with guidance from God and a big book step study sponsor. And I have made all the amends that I'm able to make so far, remain willing to make the ones that I have not been able to make, and continue to live in 10, 11, and 12, one day at a time as best as I allow God to help me do that. And I am so grateful to be here. It is so awesome that that I'm able to participate with this meeting. I was here in the beginning when the meeting started. And, you know, the paragraph, the second paragraph in the chapter really describes my experience with this meeting and with working the steps. And his life will take on a new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. And can you hear me?
I'm so sorry to interrupt. We are getting some requests. If you could take out your earbuds and speak to the computer, if that's possible.
Okay, let's see if this is better.
Thank you.
I usually do it to protect people's anonymity because I live with other people. But I guess it's not necessary here because nobody's talking other than me. So thank you. Thank you. So, you know, that second paragraph in the chapter is really a promise, and it's really what I see when I look at my computer screen, right? To have that life, to watch other people recover. There are people here that I sponsored who have sponsored other people, and those people have sponsored other people, and the meeting continues to thrive and grow and to carry this message, right? Which is what the first paragraph talks about, which is also another promise. I love that this paragraph really begins with a bunch of promises. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. And so these are really a combination of promises and instructions. I was, as I worked the steps and when I've worked with other people, the beauty of working with other people is that I get to enrich my program, and my understanding of the pages and my understanding of the work continues to grow in understanding and effectiveness, which is what step 10 tells me, right? My job now is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So, you know, some of the words I looked up was practical experience, immunity, and intensive in that first paragraph. So practical is a useful activity. So when I'm working with other people and carrying this message, I don't carry my opinion. I don't carry somebody else's opinion. I don't carry theory or anything else that I have learned. I carry the message, this message from Alcoholics Anonymous and the instructions in the book. And practical means that I'm mindful of results, right? And the promise is that the 12th step, the way it's worded, is having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, right? And so it tells me that the only result of working the steps is to have a spiritual experience. And I'm able to, I have had a spiritual experience because I worked the steps. I'm able to carry this message because I have worked the steps, and I'm able to live the principles in my life, which doesn't mean I'm perfect, right? Because 10 and 11 catch those imperfections, and that's what they're meant to do, because I am not designed to get perfect because I have had that experience. And I'm able to do that because I seek God through prayer and meditation, and I can carry God's will in my life because I continue to watch for person, you know, for resentment, dishonesty, and fear in my life and practice 10 step. And I'm able to continue to do that because I made amends. And I was able to make amends because I wrote the list in step 8. And I was able to write that list because I humbly asked God to remove my shortcomings. And I was able to ask God to remove my shortcomings because I was willing to ask him. And I became willing to ask him when I shared with somebody else in step 5 my character defects. And I was able to share my character defects because I did a 4-step and I identified what they were. And I was able to do the 4-step and identify what they were because I made the decision in step 3. And I made the decision in step 3 because I came to believe that only a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And I was able to identify that because I recognized that I was powerless. And so it all works together. And without having done the step and practicing these principles in my affairs, doesn't mean, you know, I'm not able to continue to live a joyful and fruitful life. And so this chapter really is a lot of instructions on how to work with other people. And it gets very specific. And some of the instructions are really based on the experience that they were having in 1939. The experience that we have today is different. Like, you know, that it tells me perhaps I'm not acquainted with any drinkers and I can easily find them by going to doctors. Well, now I can easily find them by going to meetings and sharing my experience in the meetings. That's how I find alcoholics, drug addicts, and food addicts, and all the other variety of addicts in my life, right? And when I, so like this sentence, don't start out as an evangelist or reformer. I practice that in the way I share at meetings. If I share at meetings and I tell other people that the way they're working the steps is not the right way to work the steps, that the one and only way to work the steps is through Big Book Step Study, I am evangelizing and trying to reform people. So when I go to meetings, I don't get into arguments. There's plenty of times when, you know, I will identify myself as a recovered, whatever it is, whatever fellowship I happen to be in. And there are people who take objection to that. I don't fight with those people. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter to me what they think or don't think. And if I start to, you know, and my nature would be to just engage in a fight and in an argument with them. But because of the steps, I don't have to. And it tells me here. And that is my first step in making contact with other people, with other alcoholics, which is the first thing that I need to do. If I'm going to work with somebody, I need to find them. And so if I start those fights, then I prejudice myself. I'm not able to help anybody, which is the bottom line. This book over and over and over again tells me that my problem is my selfishness and my self-centeredness, and that the solution to that is to be unselfish, right? It starts from the doctor's opinion, the unselfish motive, right? The fellowship that's growing up about them. It starts from there, that I have to be unselfish. And so my job is to be helpful, right? To be helpful is my only aim. And I'm able to be helpful where doctors and other people may not be able to be helpful because I have experience with using. I have experience with the hopelessness of the disease, but also because I have experience with the solution. Even though the book tells me in the beginning, don't talk about the solution, talk about the hopelessness. In the next page, it starts talking about find all you can about them, right? Learn to know who they are. It talks about the family. I don't know what anybody else's experience is, but my experience is I have never met an alcoholic or anybody that I've worked with through their family. I meet them at meetings. I meet them if I do service by speaking at treatment centers and those sorts of places, but not with their family. So I don't find out about them from their family. I definitely don't find about them from their friends or their ex-sponsors or the treatment center people. I don't want to know. I want to know about them from them. And the reason I need to know about them is so that I can help them, right? So that I can put myself in their situation if their roles are reversed. How do you know, the golden rule, right? Treat other people as I want to be treated. And so, so there's a few guidelines that I'm going to read that come from these pages. I'm not going to go through the whole book. So, one of the things that I talk about is, I talk about why they want to recover. I ask people questions. Do you want to stop? The first two questions before I agree to work with somebody is, do you want to stop? And are you willing to go to any length? Now, the truth is that most people, when you ask them those questions in the beginning, unless they've been going to a lot of meetings for a long time, and have read or have been in the program for a while, they have no clue. Somebody walking in the door, you ask them that question, are you willing to go to any length? They'll go, yes, 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 because they're hopeless and desperate, but they have no clue, right? So the book tells me, don't rush them. Don't rush them into working the steps. Don't rush them into doing that, which is, I believe, one of the reasons in Big Book Step Study, we take the time to go over the preface and the forewords to all the editions in the book. I've had sponsees tell me, why are we reading all this stuff? This is just history. Why do I want to know? And I then remind them, remember you said you were willing to go through any length. So this is part of the lengths you're going through. You're going to be patient here. And the reason for that is that the book warns me not to rush people, even if they're in a rush, because it's really important. There are four whole chapters devoted to steps one and two. Right, there's the doctor's opinion, there's more about alcoholism, there is a solution, and then there's the chapter to the agnostic. Before in the book, they ever say, you are now at step three. And so part of working with somebody is helping them get ready to be convinced that A, they were powerless, that no human power could restore, help them recover, and that God can help them if they will. And if they seek God. And so my job as a sponsor and guiding somebody through the steps is to help them get there, right? I also, there's towards the end of what we read, they talk about, not be the banker, not be careful not to put my service work on the plane of being, of helping them, because then I'm gonna have them be reliant on me rather than reliant on God. And my job as a sponsor is to help somebody develop that relationship with God. That's gonna, the only thing that's ever gonna keep them from going back to active addiction, because as the first speaker mentioned, and I believe, I wake up every morning with untreated addiction, and I'm gonna treat it with God, or I'm gonna end the steps, or I'm gonna treat it with one of the ingredients that I, or behaviors that are my preference. And so, I make it clear to them that the reason that I'm not their therapist, I'm a therapist by training. So I make it clear, I'm a therapist, I'm a therapist by training. If you want to see me as a therapist, it's $150 an hour. If you want to work the steps, it's free. I'm not an accountant. I'm not your guidance counselor. I have no opinion on who you should vote and not vote for, or how you can fix your car. I have no clue. All I have is experience with using and experience with recovering, and that's what I will share with you. So I make that very clear. I have throughout, I've been sober from alcohol and drugs, which is my longest sobriety since 1983. So in that time, I have had people stay with me for short periods of time, people that were willing to, that we're willing to work the program and we're going through a rough time. But, nowadays, if somebody needs that kind of stuff, I take them to a detox, or I help them get to a treatment center or in that direction. So I don't have that much that experience with that, as they used to have to do back in the days when the book was written. But I do make it very clear from the beginning. The other thing that I make it clear from the beginning is that I'm doing this for me. One of the things that I was talking to a friend in the program the other day that was struggling because one of her sponsees kept relapsing and doing this and all of that stuff. And she was in some angst because it hurts. I mean, it hurts me when I see people struggle. And I just said, I have been 100% successful with everyone I have ever sponsored because I have stayed sober through their sponsorship. And that is the reason I sponsor people, which sounds selfish, but what happens is that it requires sacrifice for me to be able to do the sponsorship. And the book tells me that. So I make it clear that they have no obligation to me, that the only obligation they have is to pass this message on to other people. And that is something that I do ask people as we get to step three, before we get together and kneel and hold hands and say the third step prayer. I ask them, are you willing to pass on this message and to do this work with other people when you're done? And I've never had somebody say no at that point, because by then they're like, they think there's so much in that they can't get out. I've never had somebody say no. And I don't know what I would do, but my guess is I would probably say, let's take some time and think here, because if that's not what you're willing to do, then I'm not so sure that this is it's going to be a beneficial endeavor for you.
I have 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
5 minutes left, yep.
Wow, okay. Thank you. That went by fast. So I make it clear that they're not under any pressure. And then what the book tells me to do is in the beginning to share my experience with using and not to start talking about the steps or the solution in the beginning. To share my experience with using until the time that I stopped, and not to talk about that until they asked me. And as we share experiences and in the style of more about alcoholism and there is a solution, I share my experiences with using and with trying to stop to use, which is the next step, right? First is I identify what my using was like so that they know. Because, you know, somebody looks at me now, I'm like, you know, I'm 61, I have gray hair, I have a peaceful life and a nice job and money in the bank and all those trappings that life gives you. They don't know that in active addiction, I blew up half a bridge, unless I tell them, right? Because I don't look like somebody that would blow up half a bridge. I don't look like somebody that would paint statues. I don't look like somebody that at one point weighed over 300 pounds. And so unless I tell them, they don't know. And, you know, except for in the beginning, I remember not the first sponsees, but one of the people that I sponsored when I first got through Big Book Step Study, and the reason I got through Big Book Step Study was because I had relapsed on food and had gone back up to over 300 pounds when I came back to OA and Big Book Step Study. And Ethel actually turned me on to Big Book Step Study, even though she wasn't in Big Book Step Study. It's an interesting story. They asked me to sponsor her, and then she said, well, how can you help me? Because you're so big. It's, you know, I mean, it takes a while to come off over 300 pounds. It doesn't happen like as you get recovered. So I said, because I'm abstinent and I have worked the steps. And if you want what I have, you know, regardless of what I look like, then I can help you. And so this has been, I don't know, how many years are we celebrating?
11.
11? Mm-hmm. So this was about, I don't know, nine years ago maybe, or 10. And she's still my sponsee, and we're still working together, and she has recovered and has helped other people. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the stories that I have to share. So it tells me to tell them enough about my drinking and my using so that they know that I am like them, and then tell them about some of the ways in which I've tried to control that, in which I tried to get better and how I failed at it, so that they can recognize. And the whole idea is if we have this whole conversation, is they'll start to identify and they recognize that I am, and that my problem is similar to their problem. And then that's when I tell them, well, isn't that great news? Because if my problem and your problem are so similar, my solution and your solution might be also similar. And then I start talking about the solution and the steps and what I and how I work the steps. I do believe that people that have never been to, you know, I don't have to do this with people that have been to a lot of Big Book Step Study meetings, because they have heard and they've heard from other people. I'm writing for months at a time, so they know it takes a while to do this work. But for people that are really not familiar, I give them the book before I meet with them again, and I tell them, read up all the way to page 103. There's some pretty drastic things that the book that this asks you to do, and make sure that you do want to do them before we go on and continue to do that work. But I wanted to talk about some of the self-sacrifice, right, that happens, because this is something that's important in sponsorship. I'm not at 1 minute yet, am I?
You're turning at 1 minute, yep.
Great, okay. So one of the things important for sponsorships, you know, here it talks about people burning mattresses in your house and your phone ringing at all times of that day and night and breaking furniture and all that kind of stuff. That isn't my experience today. What that self-sacrifice, and sacrifice, when I looked it up in the dictionary, meant giving up something of value in the hopes of gaining something that has more value, right? So, for example, I'm working with a sponsee, the one that called me while we were in the meeting, who had an extra piece of fruit yesterday than she was supposed to do. Yesterday when we talked, our meeting time, we meet three times a week, and our meeting time on Saturdays is after this meeting that we both go to about 11 in the morning. And she said, you know, could we meet at a different time? Because there's a Pilates class that I really want to do at that time, and blah, blah, blah. And she wanted to meet at 9 a.m. on Saturdays. Now, for those of you that know me, I am not a morning person. And Saturdays or Sundays are the days that I get to sleep, sometimes till noon. And so, waking up at 9 o'clock in the morning is a piece of sacrifice for me that I'm willing to do so I can gain the benefits of sponsoring somebody. Thank you so much for letting me speak, and I am so grateful to be here, and I got a lot out of everybody I heard.
Thank you.